On 11.16 SEN, Melbourne's home of footy, hungry for sport with Kevin Bartlett for Ruban Tyres. Get the right tyre for your truck. Google R-U-B-A-N-D today. And the Holden Colorado, best of both. Visit your Holden dealer now.
8 minutes past 11 and the buzz, Johnny Ralph is here, all thanks to Dingo Cement and Prestige Jayco Caravans. Now we're running a poll here. You want to read out the poll we're running, Hungry for Sport poll, Buzz?
Hungry for Sport poll. Should the AFL do away with the clash jumpers altogether? Yes is 58%. No is 42%.
What's your thoughts?
You know what, Kevin? I think you've got ahead of yourself.
Don't worry about Richmond. Think about any club.
Philosophically, Kevin, as long as one side wears the white shorts and one wears the black or whatever it might be to the corresponding fixture, if it's Sydney, they wear their red shorts, you get the socks and you get the shorts right, I think you just play on. I mean, what's his name's right? Terry Wallace. Maybe in the 50s, maybe in black and white TV, but does anyone really think that there is a jumper clash between Richmond and Adelaide, especially when the AFL wore in, was it round 22, their umpires wore blue, three teams wore blue, and when Andrew Dillon was asked about it, he said, no, we didn't really think it was a clash. So, look, I just think there are some things that are so
well, if that wasn't a clash, certainly Richmond playing against Adelaide is not going to be a clash, is it?
So the Western Bulldogs wore their traditional jumper last year, didn't they? I know there are sides that have played so many finals and so many grand finals. You might say, if we had to this year wear a jumper clash strip, but the Dogs might not ever get back into that. They might not get back for 50 years. The Tigers, they might not ever get back in as well.
Well, they haven't played one for 35 years. Yeah. They haven't won one for 37. Just on animation, we had a Geelong caller before the break saying there was no animation, but a lot of fans said there was animation for Geelong, just not enough goals to stop for anyone to actually notice. So they're saying you got to stop whinging, but there was animation. Some said also there was a voiceover saying, go Cats, as well.
Now, Kevin, you know what you've got? Because some would say...
Yeah, I've got laryngitis.
No, I don't think that's true.
Pharyngitis.
I reckon the Geelong fans are giving it to you. I think it's finals fatigue, Kevin. Because I'll tell you what, finals fatigue gets to a lot of people.
I have got finals fatigue.
Now, what are the chances that Denise has got chronic fatigue and has had it for...
She has.
How many years has she had it for?
Since the day after we got married.
Yes. Did she work beforehand?
She did.
So it was a shock to you that she came down with chronic fatigue.
Was.
So normally I'd say to you, Kevin, just have a cup of Dingo Cement and harden up.
Self-diagnosed.
So, look, before we talk about these clash trips, Kevin, I keep thinking to myself about Sydney. 15 of the last 17. The only team that's beat them is Hawthorn. They've done it by uncontested marks. They retain the ball. I don't think Geelong kicks the ball well enough. Why wouldn't Geelong get into the spirit of adventure? And why wouldn't they say, we're going to attack? Because I think last week, they defended. They brought another defender in.
I agree with that.
Yeah. Why wouldn't they say Patrick Dangerfield needs to play at least 15 minutes of every quarter as the full forward? Now, it might mean that you can play Tom Hawkins up the ground a little bit. Might mean that Buzzer comes off the bench rather than pushing forward. But I just keep thinking to myself, if they roll along and do what they have done in the last couple of weeks, they're a very talented side. They've got some quality players. They need to attack. They need to give John Longmire something that he's not really expecting. Yeah. Or if he is expecting, he's the most dangerous forward in the competition. In 20 minutes against Hawthorn, he kicked all those goals on one leg. Imagine what he can do fully fit. Now, it might not work
against
Essendon, rather. And against Hawthorn, Patrick Dangerfield went forward there, and he was on Luke Hodge for a while.
I thought you were talking about Buddy then, sorry.
No, sorry, yeah. So I just keep thinking to myself, Chris Scott, this could be your finest hour. Everyone's questioning his coaching. Everyone's questioning the selection. Do something that Sydney would fear. Because the last possible place that John Longmire wants Patrick Dangerfield is one out in that forward 50. Maybe against Rampy, maybe against Heath Grundy. But do something that might just terrify John Longmire. Because right now, he's sitting there smoking the cherry, saying, we'll beat Geelong unless they do something. Maybe a bit radical.
I think that last week, the Cats have probably had a look at that and went in too negative against the Tigers.
Yeah.
Instead of playing the game to what Geelong wanted to play, they wanted to play a game to try and stop the Tigers. So I'd like to hear from Geelong fans if they think that too. I know a lot of SMSs say, totally agree with you, Kevin. It all started at selection. Scott gave into the Tigers from the very start. Johnny's in St Kilda. G'day, John.
Good morning, boys. KB, love the sexy voice, mate.
Don Corleone. Oh, they've given me a big white cat here, the Pat.
Just on the away strips, mate. So firstly, let's be honest. The only reason there are away strips is about selling more jumpers and revenue for the AFL. It has nothing to do with any clash whatsoever, because I heard your arguments earlier, KB, you're absolutely spot on. We could make our plays when they were full of mud and looked exactly the same, but now all of a sudden with dry grounds we can't tell who's who, right? So totally agree. On the other part, though, with Richmond, the part of your argument I haven't heard, because I know you're very passionate about Richmond keeping their Richmond jumper no matter who they play, who would they potentially clash with the remaining teams, you know, given the scenario Richmond playing a grand final? Who are the potential clashes there anyway?
Well, it's probably Adelaide, isn't it? I mean,
well, I think they're, that. Well, look, sometimes what they do, John, is the AFL announces which clubs actually they have to wear a clash jumper. I know Adelaide is one of them, and we saw the Tigers wear that recently. I don't know whether the AFL has deemed that they clash with Sydney Swans, or they clash with the Giants, or they clash with West Coast. I don't know that, but I do know that they say we clash with the Adelaide Crows.
And a couple off the SMS too, people are saying, well, no point danger being fed the ball if we don't get it in the forward line. 38 inside 50s, that's all I got last week. But surely this side has built their midfield. With Mitch Duncan, who was ordinary last week, with both of the Selwoods, you might have to play Menegola in the midfield rather than half-forward, where he's ordinary. Mark Blitzhouse might want to get more than 12 possessions. So if this Geelong midfield is so ordinary that Paddy has to play there 100% of the time, they're not going to win anyway. And some would say Rampy might play on Patrick Dangerfield and he'll smash him. I reckon Patrick Dangerfield will be saying to himself, rolling up the sleeves, rubbing the hands, I can do something terrifying.
But this is something that the Tigers have done well this year. If you're talking about Dangerfield or Selwood going forward, keep them on the ball. Well, the Tigers used to do that. But what they have found, that if you can balance it up, a period of time on the ball, a period of time up forward, you can actually kick goals as well as be a dominating midfield player. Yep. And, of course, that's a bit like how it used to be in the old days, where a midfield player would play on the ball for maybe 75% of the time, and for 25% of the time he'd play on the forward line. And hopefully, you know, kick a few goals on the forward line if he doesn't kick any whilst he's on the ball. So as a result, the Tigers have done that, haven't they? So you've got to have the courage to say, well, like they did against Hawthorn in that game when he got injured. You know, for a period of time, Dangerfield's got to be playing probably 30% of the game as a forward, and Selwood's got to be played 30% of the game as a forward.
Well, I thought Paddy's one great moment was when he and Selwood got involved on the brink of halftime. He kicked that goal. Didn't look like he got involved in any of the forward play apart from that. Maybe because Richmond was dominating, it was a territory game. But you put him there, and maybe you might only get 45 inside 50s, but if he kicks five for you, well, you might be halfway home.
Just on the alternate jumper, Richmond wears alternate jumpers in away games against Adelaide, Port Adelaide, St Kilda, Fremantle and Essendon.
Yeah, Mitch Duncan. Mitch Duncan didn't kick the ball that well last week. You're right. He wasn't ordinary, but he. But my point remains. Too many of those blokes kicked it poorly. If they want to play a possession game, which Hawthorn has done twice in the last 17 rounds, well, they're going to get beaten. So that midfield quite clearly is good enough to play Patrick Dangerfield. I don't know, 35%, 40% forward. Richmond. John from Richmond, how are you doing?
Hi, guys. Yeah, look, just on your article, John, you wrote for Essendon. It was a bit of a tough piece on Monday. I'm just wondering why you didn't really come out and criticise like players like Zaharakis, Bell Chambers, Goddard, even Joe Watson. You know, these guys, they had a terrible game. And when I was reading the article, it was just really more like a puff piece. And I'm just wondering why you didn't come out strong enough to criticise a really, really poor performance on a finals game like that.
I suppose my point was that a lot of players play very poorly against Sydney. And if you go back through the last 15, the last 17 weeks, a lot of players are ordinary. You know, it had been criticised the day after. Mine was a Monday piece saying, let's look at the big picture here. As awful as they were, and I think we've all smacked them about now having the longest finals winning drought of any of the traditional teams, I still think it was a successful year. Now, Brendan Goddard, he does float around loose. You know, he didn't impact the contest enough. I think the only thing he really did was...
Is that his fault, or do you think the coaches should give him, you know, more of a important role rather than be a loose player? Say, listen, you're playing for us as a centre-half forward, or you're playing for us as a ruck rover, or you're playing centre-half back, rather than say, well, this is the role we're giving you, because it's hard to criticise him if he's playing the exact role that the coaching staff want him to play.
Well, he didn't play that role well. I mean, at times...
Well, he may not have played it well.
Yeah.
Well...
So, you know, he threw handballs into space. He was fumbly. I think the extraordinary thing for me is on Fox Footy, we put up the methodology, the strategy from John Longmire. And one of those points on the whiteboard was we need to neutralise the numbers forward of the ball. And yet it seemed to me like Essendon always had that one back. It didn't really stem the bleeding. They kicked seven goals in whatever it was, 15 minutes. Maybe Brendan Goddard can't play that elite midfield role well. But we keep hearing about what do they need.
Well, can he be a goal kicker on the forward line? Yeah. Can he play in a forward pocket as a third string forward?
But they keep saying we need hard, mature, inside contested machines. And Brendan maybe hasn't shown himself to be that, but I would have thought I'd love him to play more pure midfield because he's got good hands, he kicks the ball well, he is a big body, and yet for some reason he's deployed in ways in which sometimes he doesn't seem to get the best out of himself.
Or you could just play him as a wingman like Matthew Richardson did in his last year and a bit of Nick Revolt this year.
He's good overhead.
So that's your role. You're named on the wing each week, float down back, float up forward.
Well, what do you think about Brendan's future? You know, I'd love to hear.
He's got
from
1 year to go.
Yeah, he has. So
he said he'd be playing because he's getting paid.
Yeah.
Oh, he said that?
Yeah, no doubt. Look, I think that quite clearly he is in their best 22. Now, he was poor, and our previous caller...
He's got a lot of talent, Brendan Goddard.
Yeah, look, I don't know who it was. Maybe someone on the couch that said, if he didn't have that contract, would he be going on? I don't think that's in any doubt at all. I still think he's a really valuable player. I just would love to see him deployed in more dangerous roles.
We'll take a break, and we'll come back. We'll take more of your calls. The buzz is here, all thanks to Dingo Cement and Prestige Jayco Caravans.
I've heard people say that...
On 11.16 SEN, Melbourne's home of footy, hungry for sport, with Kevin Bartlett for Ruban Tyres. Get the right tyre for your truck. Google RUBAND today. And the Holden Colorado, best of both. Visit your Holden dealer now.
Oh, my name's Kevin, and I need a throat lozenge, baby. Give it to me now. We're getting a lot of people off the SES, Kevin, saying, you sound like so him. Sexy, Kevin. Oh, I just want to wrap you up with a big hug.
Can't get enough of your love, baby. Kevin, a lot of people being critical of Brendan Goddard, but I think Brendan's been typecast by Essendon, and I think he can play a different role than the role that they've given him right throughout the course of the year.
Well, I think they remember him in grand finals, big, strong pack marks.
Took a great mark.
Yeah, he used to be he's a beautiful goal kicker. I almost compare it a little bit to Trent Cotchin. Now, it's not to say that Cotch wasn't his own worst enemy with those dinky kicks around the back line and he wasn't taking risks. And yet, his coach reprogrammed him. And he was aggressive last week and he's been kicking the ball long and taking risks. Look, I understand as some people say off the SMS, Brendan fumbles a bit. Maybe he's not that inside contested monster. But they've got to be able to use him in a more effective way. I keep thinking to myself, if Aaron Francis could get fit, he becomes the intercept marker. I mean, he's got more talent in his little finger than most players in the AFL.
Is he on the market?
I spoke to his manager a couple of weeks back, and he said that the club doesn't want him to move on. He's just got to get fit. You know, they told him, this is what you got to do over the off-season last year, and he came back, and he was in almost identical shape, and he took the whole pre-season catching up. Now, before we go to the calls, can I just throw one up, Kevin? Now, we wrote today that Josh Kelly will re-sign at GWS. He certainly hasn't done that yet.
No, around about Tuesday, I think Greg Venom Denham suggests. But it's coming. The deal's done. They've all agreed on it. They just haven't signed the paper.
Paul Connors has told Craig Cameron, look, he will sign. And I think until Craig gets that contract done, well, he'll feel a little bit nervous. But I think that's going to happen. So a lot of these players are signed up. So
he'd be a man of his word. I mean, if Paul Connors says... the deal's done. We've just got to sign. It's done.
I think Paul has said to them, I'll give you a $10,000 bet. So I don't think Paul wants to pay out the $10,000. He's done. My point is, a lot of clubs out there with a lot of money. Tom Lynch is floating about. Now, Tom didn't, he wasn't great when he was interviewed by Mark Robinson. You know, I asked him about his contract. I think Robbo last night said, look, maybe I could have asked him one less question about it because he was really nervous. The point remains, okay, there's no stars out there. Do you go and get a contracted star? Do you go and get one of next year's free agents? Is it him? Is it Andrew Gaff? So if you're a club out there with cash, who is the player under 25 you just want to go and get? Now, it might be Eric Hipwood. It might be Marcus Bontempelli. It might be the superstars of the game. But you've got to give us a trade. So it might be your two first-round picks from this year and next year. If it's Collingwood, you might say, okay, I'm going to give up a first-round pick and we're going to move Pendlebury. It could be pie in the sky, but it's got to be a fair trade. So give us the play if it's Marcus Bontempelli. Now, we all know that Bont's not leaving, but if you could throw something up, he's at Tom Liberatore, but this is the trade. You've got to give us a trade that you think would get that player.
Could Stringer go to Collingwood?
Yeah, look, my people within the Dogs are saying that Collingwood is one of the clubs that's asked the question. Now, again, they need X Factor. Nathan Buckley, like all coaches, he wants talent. So you'd have Fasolo, you'd have Jamie Elliott, you'd have him, you might have Chris Mayne. You know, it'd be a pretty dangerous forward line.
Bulldog supporters are sending through suggesting side bottom. Yeah. Like side bottom.
Yeah. And again, I'm are the Pies in the premiership window right now, or do they feel like our next window's 1 to 3 years away and his side bottom getting to the end of his career? Look, I wouldn't let Stringer go. I'd give him one more chance. Great shot across
he's
the bounds.
But
gone. He clearly is gone. And so, yeah, okay, throw up a deal and it might involve side bottom. Because as I said before, the Pies have got a lot of half-forward flanks. They've got a lot of quite nice players, but they haven't got a lot of players who are tradable.
Pauline is in Box Hill. G'day, Pauline.
Oh, good morning still. Kevin, regarding the clash jumpers, you're sounding a lot like Eddie Maguire when he said Collingwood would not wear their alternate strip against North Melbourne's home game. And, well, we didn't play them in a home game for about 3 years.
Well, they don't have an alternate strip, as far as I'm concerned. Whether it's a black jumper with white vertical stripes or a white jumper with black vertical stripes, I don't think anyone can really tell the difference, Pauline.
A couple of more millimetres of black strip or whatever it might
that's
be.
That's why I think it's a bit of a joke, Pauline, because you know Collingwood can play against the clubs that they believe they've got a clash with, and they wear exactly the same jumper, and everyone says, "Well, that's okay." Well done to Eddie, because he's actually said to him, "Well, we play in black and white vertical stripes." And that's what we're going to play in.
Yeah. Simo, you want to talk about clash jumpers as well?
Yeah, just in regards, I've always started quite ironic that years ago, the young ones wouldn't even know about this, but we used to have the umpires dressed in white. They said they used to clash or whatever it was, and you couldn't see them. Yet, majority of the away jumpers are all white. I always find that quite ironic that the umpires now are hard to see, and especially in that last round, they all dressed in blue or whatever it was, or grey. You couldn't even see them against the Bulldogs, I think it was. So why can't the umpires go back to white? That way they stand out more and have the away strips as normal. It's their normal home jumper.
Well, you know, the umpire always wore white when you go back in time. When I played, the umpire always wore white. No one couldn't recognise the umpire. No one could had any difficulty recognising the colours of the clubs and who you're playing against, no matter whether it was Collingwood against North Melbourne. That's what I said this morning, Jeff. You know, for some reason we've gone down this track, some crazy person, you know, come up with a furphy, and then all of a sudden we change things. And now we're talking about iconic clubs, you know, playing in grand finals or possible grand finals or have played in grand finals like St Kilda. And now, if it's Richmond this year, have to play in some stupid jumper that doesn't represent the club. The AFL and footy clubs and fans have got to say to the AFL, this is a mistake. Just wind it back. It's not going to happen.
Well, I reckon they've shown themselves to the AFL.
My voice was stronger, I'd really let fly.
Exactly. Well, you already found yourself in both of today's papers. The AFL have shown themselves to make common sense decisions. Okay, we stuffed up the tribunal situation with Basher Hawley. We'll override that. Surely Gillon McLachlan, the man who brought cheap pies back to the AFL, can say, look, I understand that philosophically this is a clash. Play on, though. Let both of these sides, whoever the two sides are in the grand final, because I'm not getting my head myself like you, Kevin, just let them play.
So did anyone have any trouble with the umpire being in all white?
Never.
Never.
And yet we've gone to, what is it?
Oh, who knows?
Lime and
we've
grey,
had orange, we've
blue.
Had red, we've had green.
Yes.
We've had lime, we've had grey, we've had blue.
Getting some off the SMS, I'd much rather Essendon used up a pick on Gaff than Stringer. Gibbs to Adelaide for first round and second round, then two first rounders move on. Sorry, Kevin, one just trickled through after that. What else? For Solo to West Coast, Gaff to St Kilda, Martin to Dogs, Stringer to Collingwood, the Pies first round pick and steel side bottom for Tom Lynch. Someone's thrown up Gunston and next year's first rounder for Charlie Curnow. Mm. I reckon they should lock Charlie Curnow away for a million years.
Look, they're not going to give up Tom Lynch. Look, if you're the new coach going up there at the Gold Coast Suns, you've already had Tony Cochran say it's wins and losses. How'd you be as a new coach going up there?
You just and lost Adelaide and
your captain
Lynch.
And your champion, Key Ford, were just offloaded him.
What if Adelaide wins the flag? Do they still want Bryce Gibbs? Because we know from Sam Edmonds' story so far, Carlton want two first-rounders and a player, so they're putting extraordinary value on that player. I just think to myself, with Greenwood coming through, maybe they say, hey, Bryce, we had a crack last year. Thanks, but no thanks.
Brad.
Yeah, Brad from New South Wales. How you doing?
Hey, boys. How are you? It's Bud, Kev.
Bud, okay.
Sorry, Bud.
Remember? No, yeah, it's okay. How are you?
Good, thank you.
Well, we're on the topic of Bryce Gibbs, actually. I did congratulate you last week, Kev, on the Dusty deal, and you asked me about Bryce Gibbs. I've actually got one.
Yep.
What about Shacky and Rockliffe to Carlton?
Yep.
McGovern and Cameron to Brisbane, and Gibbs to Adelaide with a pick.
Well, now, Cameron might want to go to Brisbane, but why would McGovern want to go there?
If they want Gibbs bad enough, they'll give something up.
Yeah, and I suppose that's the thing, isn't it?
I wouldn't
it?
Give up McGovern.
Yeah, look, Rockliffe's a free agent. His wife is about to give birth. You know, Brisbane are confident, hopeful that he stays, but there are just, I reckon there's enough of those clubs out there that are going to say, look, we've got 700,000 in the salary cap space. He's a free agent. We know he doesn't run both ways, but he's a bloody good clearance player. He plays forward. He seems to have eradicated some of the issues he had last year. Yeah, look, I think that Rockliffe one is right in the knife edge. Gibbs is 28. How many years has Gibbs got left, Kevin, given he's 29, I think, in March next year?
He's got at least three, hasn't he?
Yeah, he's got three or four. He's got 3 years at his peak and then maybe a couple of years playing half forward.
He could play to his 31, 32, 33.
Yeah, no doubt about that. Look, Shacky's fascinating. I still think to myself, why in God's name would Brisbane get rid of him? The only thing is, if they have seen in the first 2 years that he's just no good, that he's not competitive enough, that he's not courageous enough. But I'm just not sure you can make that decision in 2 years as a key forward who's kicked basically the same amount of goals as Tom Hawkins did in his first 2 years. They shouldn't trade him, but maybe they'll tip into it.
Thanks, bud. Let's get to Ronnie in Craigieburn. G'day, Ron.
Boys. Sorry, Kev.
Well, bud, you've got a little bit of the blockbuster fatigue yourself.
playing managers, mate. Geez, they do my head in. They seem to drag these things on all year, and they get people from clubs running around doing. Geez, they waste a lot of time. And well, most of those players end up staying at the clubs anyway, mate. Oh God, it does my head in. Yeah.
But if they do stay, what they're hoping is that they're going to stay on a better deal, so they would think that they're not wasting their time or their players' time. I suppose.
If Dustin could have got 825 and eventually got himself, I don't know, 1.15, 1.2. Well, Ralph Carr's done an amazing job. He gets 4% of that as well, Kevin, so he's done a pretty good job.
4%?
I think that's what they get. Yeah, 20%. Yeah.
Can you tell me about Prestige Jayco Caravans? They're great supporters of the show.
Well, Prestige Jayco Caravans have got some of the best new and used Jayco Caravans and motorhomes with van sales open 7 days a week.
Number one in Melbourne, Australia.
I wonder what, in the universe, Kevin. They make canvas products on site, annexes, awnings, sunrooms, bed ends, storeaway rooms. You might tell us about bed ends, Kevin, and what they are after this. All customers can see a full range of canvas products on the website. Tony Spence, the great man of the team, help everyone go see Australia and make amazing memories. Just give them a call on 1-800-653-985. That number again, 1-800-653-985, or you can visit Prestige Jayco Geelong, located on the Bellarine Highway, or head to the website prestigejayco.com.au, wherever your adventure takes you.
On 1116 SEN, Melbourne's home of footy, hungry for sport with Kevin Bartlett for Ruban Tyres. Get the right tyre for your truck. Google RUBAND today. And the Holden Colorado, best of both. Visit your Holden dealer now.
The famous three. I was going to say the famous three stings, but it won't come out. It's all over to you, mate. I'm finished.
Kevin, my sting to you is preemptive. I think you might pull out of your front bar appearance tonight. And I just think, again, Dingo Cement, harden up. Imagine if you went on there and you couldn't talk. Imagine how that would go viral, Kevin. My sting actually is to you, and it's for you for getting ahead of yourself like no other person has ever done before. I would think that if the Tigers crash out on Saturday week, Damien Hardwick will say, you know what? We got the human moz put on us by Kevin Bartlett, who banged on for 3 days about a jumper clash that at right now is absolutely non-existent and totally irrelevant.
It's very unfair because you know I can't defend myself.
Kevin, my second sting is for Gus Gould, Channel 9. Eddie McGuire knows a thing or two about commentary. And sometimes when we're whacking away at, you know, players, he says, you know what? The people who are watching this are players from that football club or the two football clubs. They don't want to be talked down to. They don't want to be you talking negatively about their players. And I think that's the same thing with Gus Gould. If Gus Gould is commentating on a final between Parramatta and the Storm, and he, you know what, the proverbial cans one team consistently, it's just bad TV. I mean, he's a bad commentator. He's a biased commentator. I know that's part of his shtick. But most of the people watching, or at least half of them, were Storm fans. Why would you do that? And yet they don't seem to care.
Cause they've always done it.
He just rabbits on about it, on and on and on. And it's bad commentary, but as he gets a sting.
Did you see where Cam Smith didn't win the Players Award?
Yeah. And look, but you know what? Do you think that is a anti-Victorian bias? Clearly, where 9 of the 13 players in that super team came from non-finals clubs, and where Suliasi didn't even get in, 23 tries? Yeah, I mean, Storm cheated. And I know some people would say we should still have those pennants and et cetera, and it wasn't fair. I don't wash with that. They cheated. They deserve to have them taken off them. But since then, you know, they don't get into trouble. They're not involved in controversy. They don't have players doing, you know what, in shoes, in corridors. They don't do disgusting things with women. They are a great club led by a great leader and with a great football manager and fantastic blokes with a good culture.
Mm.
I understand that stuff's in the past. But this anti-Victorian
bias. It's all about the heartland.
Yeah, it's nonsense. And maybe we, at times, you know, maybe we call West Coast the evil enemy and we talk about the Adelaide free kicks and, you know, maybe we're unwittingly a bit biased about that. And if we are, we apologise. But this is a concerted campaign and it's ridiculous. And I'd say it's got to stop, but it never will.
Third thing.
I'm just going to go into the political sphere a little bit, which I very rarely do. I don't vote for any party. I don't swing either way necessarily. I try and waste my vote because no one is deserving of it. But I spoke to Michael Jamieson and his brother, Will, who is gay, and it just seems so ridiculous to me that Michael can marry his wife, Georgie, which he's not going to do until Will can marry or have the right to marry his partner, Nigel. I just keep thinking that in 20 years we'll look back and Malcolm Turnbull and all his spineless comrades will be thinking, you guys are a laughing stock. Why did it take so long? So all I would say is get out there, get your postal vote and tick yes, and hopefully we'll be able to come together as a society after we've done that in maybe a tiny way.
There's the famous three sticks. Let's go back to the callers. Scotty.
Hello, Scotty. How are you doing?
Hi, fellas. About the Clash Jumpers. Now, I believe that when a team is playing in a Clash Jumper, particularly some of the most ridiculous ones I've seen and ugly ones, I think it has a detrimental effect on the player's psychology. So I often tip against a team if they're wearing a one of those crappy jumpers. And I think it all started when a long time ago, probably wasn't a Clash jumper, but many years ago when Carlton played with that M&M's jumper, I tipped against them then and it come up good. And it's one of my theories with the tips these days.
So you reckon they just almost get distracted. Yeah. It's hard too, isn't it? Because we should say, well, you should never, you know, clubs say they want tradition, and then they come up with a Clash jumper like the Hawthorn Power Ranger jumper, which, as one of the previous callers said, clearly that is all about...
They're forced to come up with one.
Yeah, but they come up with ridiculous ones, which are all about merchandising and marketing. But yeah, quite clearly, whatever the two teams are, just let them play in their strip.
Now, Jeff wants to talk about the bounce. Good day, Jeff.
Good day, Kev.
Good, Jeff.
The reason they want to change the bounce, women can't bounce. They want to put women into umpiring. Women can't bounce. I heard someone say the other day something about why should someone who can mentally umpire but can't physically umpire not be able to umpire? That's why they want to do it.
Well, get someone in who can bounce in terms of, I mean, at the moment we've got three umpires. Now, unless we've got three female umpires looking after a game, surely that, you know, one of the umpires can actually bounce the ball and you can be a designated bouncer if you like. But I don't accept the fact that, you know, females can't bounce the ball, so therefore you take a great tradition out of the game. There's three umpires out there. And if for some reason, may sound silly, if they can't bounce the ball, we'll find someone who can come out and bounce the ball.
Yeah, well, Eleni Glyftis can bounce. She bounced the ball really well. I think she's not floating around now. She'd been dropped before that. But in her first game, they resodded the turf. She had troubles. But then in the next game, I think it was up in Alice Springs, she was fantastic. What I reckon is still going to happen, having listened to Gillon McLaughlin, who's a really strong advocate of the bounce, is there will be some people with back injuries or wrists or whatever it might be, and three or four people of the 28 on the senior list, Kevin, if they can't bounce, they'll chuck the ball up, and the AFL will say, play on, we want to keep the bounce. But rather than rotating those that can't bounce out of the game or putting them in the forward line, they'll just say, just chuck the ball up and no one's going to care and mostly we'll still have the bounce.
Now, Joe is in Adelaide, wants to talk about Clash Jumpers. G'day, Joe.
Good morning, guys. How are you doing? Okay, KB. Hope you feel better soon.
Thank you.
Can you stop going on about this Richmond Clash Jumper for the sake of all non-Richmond fans. I know what you're doing. This is a psychological trick you're trying to do, KB, where you're creating a Richmond versus the rest of the world, and you're trying to give Richmond the edge for these finals. I can see Cochin going out there next weekend in the prelim, talk about trying to win, and saying, doing it for the jumper, tell the AFL to get stuff because we're playing it in this one. A real good trick, KB, but you need just to lighten up a bit because I reckon we're going to, everyone else is going to catch on and just get over it. It's a good one, KB. I know what you're trying to do. You haven't won the flag for a long time, but just let's lay it off a bit. No more psychological warfare, mate. Let's just take it easy. You rest up, get your voice right for the front bar tonight, mate, and just take it easy.
What if, Kevin, what do you like sort of miming, Marcel Marceau? Could you go on the front bar and just toddle out there and do a little bit of...
I don't think I'll be very good on the front bar tonight.
No. You've got to play hurt, Kevin, but I reckon you're too hurt.
Look, Joe, I think that even just put Richmond aside and might have a bit of fun there. But I think for other clubs in the future, when they go and they're playing in a... If St Kilda, for instance, is playing off in another grand final, I don't think St Kilda fans want to run around in some jumper like they did back in 2010 and then thinking about, well, if we're good enough to win, well, then we're going to change back to what is our real jumper.
Yeah.
So we don't... There is no clash. People watch the game. They don't think, oh, you know what? I thought that was an Adelaide player and happened to be a Richmond player. Oh, I couldn't recognise Alex Rance. I thought that was, Tex Walker. That doesn't happen.
Well, what about Darryl Bulldock?
Players don't go kicking the ball to the opposition and say, oh, you know what? I couldn't recognise him. I thought it was one of our teammates.
Yeah. Even 50 years later, Darryl Bulldock is in the Collingwood jumper as he accepts the
and
we all still look at it and go, we understand why they swap jumpers, but we cringe. So maybe whoever it is, 50 years down the track, you say, why were they wearing that yellow with it? What do they call it? It's a very strong yellow, a very vibrant yellow, Kevin. But it's not the Tigers.
It's high-vis yellow.
High-vis yellow.
That yellow's not that good.
Yes.
Now, we'll take a break.
Now, I've got a solution for the bounce after this break, Kevin.
Okay, solution for the bounce. But also, we've got some very good friends at Dingo Cement.
We certainly do, Kevin. Dingo Fast Set High Strength 40 MPA Concrete is available in waterproof packaging and ideal for larger posts, fence corners, posts and gate posts. If you want your concrete in a bag to go really hard, really fast, try Dingo, available at leading hardware stores. Kevin, Dingo Cement, the best in the business.
In the world.
On 1116 SEN, Melbourne's home of footy, hungry for sport with Kevin Bartlett for Ruban Tyres. Get the right tyre for your truck. Google RUBAND today. And the Holden Colorado, best of both. Visit your Holden dealer now.
And he goes forward, three wide, quickly. Going with the Lalaya Rose on the inside. Cop and Eiffel can't go with them. Then in turn behind those between runners will be Ona Tijan. On the inside, Lindell Dady, and at the tail in the field, we're looking about 5 or 6 metres to Boobarowie Boy. I think we're gone here. In front, leading the way, it's Lalaya Rose. Leads by 2 metres in second placing. No, I don't think I'll get through this. Yatesy, where are you? We need you, mate. In front of Lyra Rose, down the outside, trying hard, was one step closer, but Lyra Rose wins. Second placing, we own a teach, and I think, or on the inside.
Where
are you, Yatesy?
That's Jimmy Jarks, and he's hosting the program tomorrow. You know, help me out here, Buzz, help me out.
Well, you know, Golden Tonsils came in at 2:15 and said, Kevin, and I said, let's just put up 4 posts, and let's just put Kevin down, but no. Oh, you were determined to get to the winning post.
Ian has joined us in North Sydney. G'day, Ian.
G'day. Kevin.
Yes.
I was just going to say, with Jake Stringer, surely the best thing for him as a person, even though his family's all that are in Melbourne, is to move into state and hopefully get over all the family issues and move and play in Sydney or Adelaide or Brisbane. You know, get out of town, basically.
Well, I made that comment earlier that, excuse me, maybe he could go to... Sydney Swans, because maybe Kurt Tippett, they could do some sort of a deal and get him to the Bulldogs.
He's got kids. No way he wants to move away from his kids. And as a father of a couple of young ones, I can totally understand that. And he's going to have 5 clubs that are going to be interested in him in Melbourne. The deal will get done.
Can you help me up and say goodbye to all the listeners and those who have made calls and sent through messages today?
Goodbye, everyone. It's been a beautiful day. May your news be good news, Kevin. And have a beautiful day in sport. Coming up, Afternoons with Francis Leach. The Run Home with Ox and Marco, and Evenings with Finey. We never forget Finey, Kevin. And what do you say, Kevin?
Well done.
Okay.
Have
a great day in sport.
I'll catch you tomorrow.
And Kevin will be on the front bar tonight. Mark my words.